And what we saw over the past week is really a city out of control.
But demonstrations in the nation's capital have calmed. Why that happened is under discussion. This is Tuesday, June 9th, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman in Washington. Also ahead, many U.S. police officers are showing support for peaceful protesters. As the protests continue, so does COVID-19. While many countries continue to battle the virus, one has declared itself free of the pandemic, at least for the time being. And Australia and China are not getting along very well these days. We'll tell you why. It's all on today's VOA Asia. Protesters around the globe march on, rallying against racism and police brutality nearly 2 weeks after an African-American man, George Floyd, died in police custody in Minneapolis, Minnesota. As VOA's Kane Farabaugh reports, the protests come amid memorial services for Floyd in North Carolina and planning for his funeral in Texas.
Washington, D.C. hosted some of the largest anti-racism protests in the country, under the watchful eye of local and federal law enforcement, assisted by National Guard troops brought in to quell violence and unrest.
And what we saw over the past week is really a city out of control. And I'm happy to say that over the last several days, we've seen that violence decrease.
Acting U.S. Department of Homeland Security Secretary Chad Wolf attributes the decrease in violence to the increased security presence on the streets of the nation's capital.
So we'll continue to monitor that, and we'll pull back the number of assets that we have in D.C. As that violence decreases.
On Sunday, President Donald Trump said he ordered National Guard troops in D.C. to withdraw as the violence turned to mostly peaceful protests in recent days. But the role of U.S. troops during unrest has become a hotly debated issue. Retired general and former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Martin Dempsey, was one of a number of high-profile former military leaders who spoke out against President Trump's desire to increase the presence of U.S. military troops on the streets of American cities.
I thought that given the state of the unrest and the risk that we would put the active duty military in a position where its relationship with the American people would be adversely affected, that I should say something.
Washington, D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser sent a letter to President Trump requesting the removal of additional law enforcement and National Guard troops not from Washington, D.C. She believes tactics used by security forces against protesters near the White House before President Trump visited a nearby church last week has contributed to the larger protest gatherings.
What Americans saw was federal police forces tear gassing peaceful Americans, and how they responded made clear to the president that Americans would exercise their First Amendment rights and they would do it peacefully. And what he actually did, as you saw for the remaining days, was turn out more people and more people who were there for peaceful protest.
As large crowds gathered for protests throughout many American cities, mourners from across the country filtered into George Floyd's home state of North Carolina to attend memorial services near the town where he was born.
I felt a wave of emotions, feeling overwhelmed, the sense of grief and wanting to cry. And then upon walking through and seeing him lying there, first of all, I was just praying that God would bless his soul to be at peace, because he didn't have peace in his final moments here on earth.
Floyd's family and friends now prepare to say their final goodbyes during funeral services planned later this week in Houston, Texas. Kane Farabaugh, VOA News.
We invite you to read more on our top story by following our Twitter stream at VOA Asia. We are also on Facebook, VOA Asia, and the VOAnews.com website. These are among the top Asia headlines you'll find right now at VOAnews.com. New studies published Monday report lockdowns across the globe prevented millions of deaths from the coronavirus. Activists in Thailand and organizations have raised alarm bells following last month's announcement that a new prior consultation process on the new Mekong River Dam project in northern Laos will resume. The U.S. envoy for Afghanistan reconciliation meets with leaders of the Taliban in Qatar. Reports say Japan will not join the United States, Britain, and others in issuing a statement scolding China for imposing a new security law. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on Facebook at VOA Asia and on the VOAnews.com website. After George Floyd's death in police custody in Minneapolis, Minnesota, some officers around the country knelt in solidarity with protesters condemning racism. BOA's Veronica Balderas-Iglesias met with the sheriff and protest organizers in Prince William County, Virginia, where taking a knee may spearhead permanent change.
They wanted us to kneel and to have prayer with them. Why not show that we care about what you're concerned about?
Black Lives Matter!
George Floyd's treatment at the hands of Minneapolis police is hard to watch.
We want change!
When protests erupted after his death, images of officers taking a knee helped soothe a fractured nation. In Manassas, Virginia, police officers took a knee just one day after the demonstration of May 30th turned violent. Sheriff Glenn Hill and his deputies followed suit when peaceful protesters rallied at the Prince William County Courthouse.
What happened in Minnesota, certainly, it was a tragedy. One of the things we have to do is look out for each other. If you see another one of your officers, one of your friends, buddies doing something, stop it.
Our job as law enforcement officers is not to escalate a situation. We take an oath to serve and protect, and that's to serve and protect everyone.
We want freedom, freedom!
Some have said Floyd's case shows the failure of law enforcement training to halt racist policing. But Sergeant Angel Tyson, who also took a knee, said there is more to learn.
I can identify areas that we can increase our education on cultural awareness, where we can direct some of our training. I may not have the background that you do, but I'm willing to listen. I'm willing to keep an open mind. I'm willing to do whatever my part is to help support you as you exercise your rights.
But efforts to build trust between police and people of color haven't borne fruit, protesters say. The kneeling is a nice gesture, but they want justice.
The amount of experiences in our community as far as racial discrimination within law enforcement, it's a lot. We have people that are consistently pulled over just because they look suspicious. There's no legal reason to pull them over. And then when they're pulled over, it's, you know, well, let's find a reason to write you a ticket or, you know, to put you in jail.
Protests and a pandemic do not mix well. Still, these activists say they are willing to put their health at risk so that Floyd's death doesn't go to waste.
Something has to change. Someone has to make that change. And if that means that I have to get sick, I'll get sick, I'll go to the hospital, I'll get my treatment, and I'll be right back where I am. There's nothing more I can do about that, because at the end of the day, you know, I'm just trying to hear, bring peace. People want peace.
Here in Prince William, their pleas are being heard. The county board is creating a new commission on cultural diversity to examine race relations. And Sheriff Hill is betting on community outreach to put action behind the good gestures.
One of the things that we have to do, not only with young people, but everyone that we deal with, we have to show them dignity and respect. Maybe we need to reach out to our community and let them know that, yes, we protect and serve, but we also care about you too.
For VOA News, Veronica Valderas Iglesias, Virginia.
Happening now in Asia, China Monday dropped Shanghai as one of the first ports of entries for international flights bound for the capital of Beijing, while four new cities were added to the list, and Wuhan, where the coronavirus was first identified, will be a backup. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. Thanks for being with us on VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman in Washington. The United States had just reached 100,000 COVID-19 deaths when the outrage over Floyd's death spilled onto the streets and changed the narrative. But health officials are warning that with thousands of people gathering to protest, there could be a new surge of coronavirus cases. Americans have not heard from the coronavirus task force in weeks, and the president seems to have turned the page. This, as some states are seeing the number of infections rise. VOA's Lori London spoke to Dr. Arthur Kaplan, professor of bioethics at New York University's Langone Medical Center, for insight onto where things stand in the United States.
It is a terrible mistake to ignore the pandemic. Even if we're full of outrage and many Americans want to protest and demonstrate, you can't forget that you have a lethal virus still circulating. Some parts of the United States are going up in rates of infection still. Other parts of the world, like Brazil, Peru, are on fire with the epidemic. There's problems in Mexico. So the virus is here. It has been tamped down in some parts of the world, but not everywhere. And if you don't want to get a blowback, then you're going to have to merge the desire to protest police violence against blacks with prudence. And I think the prudent thing to do is everyone who's protesting should have a mask. Everyone who's protesting should bring their hand sanitizer. They should not hug one another. They shouldn't shake hands. They shouldn't kiss. They should try to be socially distant as much as possible. In other words, I know it's hard to do it in a thousands and thousands of persons marched down the street. You don't want to be having parties or information exchanges after demonstrations. You still want to cut back on being indoors with lots of people. So I do think it is vitally important to protect yourself. And I think it's important to protect the police and National Guard or other military. They should be masked and they should be also practicing good hygiene. Any one of those groups can be the source of a rebound outbreak.
So even though they're outdoors and it's getting warmer out, does the sun, the warmth have any impact? Does the fact that they're outdoors?
Well, the value of being outdoors is very helpful, but it has nothing to do with heat. The viruses are not impacted by warm weather. Italy had plenty of dead people in a warm weather country, so did Iran. What counts when you go outdoors is that you're not normally socially as close to one another as you are when you're indoors. So if you're doing big demonstrations where you're shoulder to shoulder for hour after hour, and you're yelling and screaming in addition to sneezing, then no, I don't think we're going to see a warm weather or an outdoor advantage.
Do you think that we are going to possibly see a whole new surge in the coming weeks because of the protests?
I believe we will see a surge because of the protests in the virus. The good news is that many of the people who are out there are young, and so I'm not sure we're going to get a surge into the hospitals. What I worry about is that they'll get infected and bring it home. We may see flare-ups in older people who are exposed to the people who are out protesting. Similarly with the troops and cops, you have to sort of not just see where they are because they may get infected but tolerate the virus and not show symptoms and so on. But where are they going? Have they brought it back inadvertently to other groups that are much more vulnerable. If I was at a protest, I'd get myself tested before I went to visit my grandma in a nursing home.
What do people do when the Trump administration doesn't seem to be talking about the pandemic? We have no one telling the public really where things stand and what to do and acting as if it's just sort of like magically disappeared. And I think that's left a lot of confusion for people that aren't necessarily in those protests, but just going about their lives or not knowing if they should go about their lives.
Well, sadly, the White House has given up on the pandemic because it's all bad news for the White House. Since they didn't manage it properly, it was worse than it should have been. It's hard to run around reminding people that there are over 100,000 deaths in the U.S., and the president doesn't want to do it. He wants to talk about restoring the economy. He's sent all of his scientists and public health people into some sort of bizarre exile. I haven't seen any of them. You can't forget about the pandemic. You just can't. Politicians may have their reasons to want to forget about it, but scientists should not. I have to turn also to the governors in the U.S. to keep the message going. I saw Andrew Cuomo in New York issued a statement about the pandemic and good behavior at demonstrations in terms of public health, so they're helpful. The other group that I blame is the media. The media has switched stories and also forgotten about the pandemic. Mm-hmm. It's just a hotter story, more visuals, people marching up and down. You're not talking about some abstract danger or something that's harder to cover, and also that people are sick of, literally sick from, but sick of discussing. And I blame them for giving up on the pandemic story, too.
Certainly, the eruption from George Floyd's killing just completely overtook the narrative. So basically, what your message is, the pandemic is not over, and we should not let our guard down.
Pandemic's not over. Shouldn't let our guard down. We can merge some of the stories here. Look, who's the most vulnerable in America to the virus? It has been the elderly and then minorities. So it's okay to point out, I think, in a demonstration that not only has there been discrimination by the police in terms of enforcement, but the health system has let minorities down. And I hope we can bring that message to the fore a bit more. It's not like the only way that African Americans have been discriminated against in the U.S. is by police violence and over prosecution. There's this complete breakdown of health access for minorities, and that's why they died at a much greater rate in many of the cities.
VOA's Lori London speaking with Dr. Arthur Kaplan, professor of bioethics at New York University's Langone Medical Center.
VOA Asia is on Twitter. Follow us at VOA Asia for developing stories in Asia, perhaps close to you. Our Twitter feed also has updates on programs you can hear and see, with links to easily find them. VOA Asia Twitter, we're always online for you.
This news from VOA Asia. Authorities in Pakistan have stepped up enforcement of government safety measures after a rise in the daily number of coronavirus infections pushed total cases to more than 100,000. All the big stories come your way through the day on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. New Zealand's Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern said Monday that her country has eliminated transmission of the coronavirus and will lift all containment measures except for border curbs. She added that she did a little dance upon hearing that the country had no active cases. Reuters' Libby Hogan has more.
New Zealand welcomed the news that there are no active cases of the coronavirus for the first time since the virus arrived in the country in late February. Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern said Monday her country will lift all containment measures except for border restrictions beginning at midnight.
Not only have we protected New Zealanders' health, we now have a head start on our economic recovery. That's because at level one we become, if not the most open, one of the most open economies in the world.
And when asked how she celebrated the milestone, she answered,
I did a little dance.
The news sets New Zealand on course to eliminate the disease from its shores and open up its economy. That's largely thanks to 7 weeks of a strict lockdown, where businesses were shut and all but essential workers stayed home. Now she's calling for collective action to unite for the country's economic recovery, encouraging people to buy local products and support local businesses to get them back on their feet. In total, New Zealand reported 22 deaths and more than 1,000 cases among its 5 million population. The country's Ministry of Health said Monday the last person being monitored for the disease had recovered. But officials are cautious about claiming victory. Ardern warned that elimination of the virus does not mean permanent eradication. For New Zealand, it will indicate 28 days of no so-called chains of transmission, which would fall on June 15. The island nation is only one of a handful of countries that have emerged from the pandemic. The US, UK, India, and Brazil are just some of the countries still wrestling with the spread of the virus.
How dangerous is COVID-19? 80% of the cases are said to be mild. Young and healthy people are at a relatively low risk. Elderly and people with serious health conditions are at risk of fatality. If you have a cough, fever, and shortness of breath, contact a doctor and stay away from other people. For more information, visit the websites at the World Health Organization and the U.S. Centers for Disease and Control. A message from your friends at VOA Asia.
We continue now on VOA Asia. Australia is disputing Chinese government advice given to Chinese citizens, urging them not to travel to Australia because of what Beijing calls a surge in racism during the coronavirus pandemic. The Chinese Ministry of Culture and Tourism issued the warning, insisting there was a significant increase in racist attacks on Chinese and Asian people in Australia. From Sydney, Phil Mercer reports.
China is Australia's biggest trading partner, but there is friction in the relationship. Australia's recent call for an international investigation into COVID-19, which is widely thought to have originated in Wuhan, China, infuriated Beijing. Despite denials on both sides, bans and tariffs imposed on Australian agricultural products were seen by analysts as retaliation by China. There was also criticism of Australia's early February decision to ban travellers from mainland China because of concerns over the spread of the virus. Australia has since closed its borders to all foreign nationals. In a further worsening of bilateral ties, authorities in Beijing are urging Chinese tourists not to travel to Australia because of fears of racism over the coronavirus, citing an alarming increase in violence against Asian people. This is strongly denied by officials in Canberra. Australia's Deputy Prime Minister Michael McCormack.
It's a rather moot point because at the moment there are no travelling happening between China and Australia. But let me say this, Australia is a very welcoming country and we're certainly mindful of the fact that we've got $149.7 billion trade with China. We are very mindful that we need to exercise respect. Anybody from China who is in Australia is most welcome to be here.
However, anecdotal evidence has suggested that Chinese Australians and other Asian migrants have suffered racism because of the pandemic. Some have said they faced increased hostility both online and in shops since the outbreak began. Cell phone videos appear to support some of the allegations. A young Asian boy was reportedly bullied at school in Australia by other students who demanded he be tested for the virus. A Chinese family in Melbourne says their home was targeted by racists three times in a week. Canberra's relationship with China was already tense even before COVID-19 because of allegations of Chinese interference in Australia's domestic affairs and cyber espionage. Australia won't want to see the situation get any worse. Australia's income from tourism and education has relied heavily on demand from China. Official advice urging Chinese citizens to avoid travel to Australia could inflict more damage on two sectors already damaged by the pandemic. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
Humanitarian aid groups operating in southern Bangladesh are bracing for a potential worst-case scenario now that COVID-19 is spreading in Rohingya refugee camps. But as Dave Grunebaum reports, if there is a major outbreak, medical teams may be forced to ration health care.
Aid agencies are increasing medical care resources for the 860,000 ethnic Rohingya living in the overcrowded camps and almost 450,000 Bangladeshis living nearby.
We have a situation in the camps that is really ideal for coronavirus transmission. As I said, we have cramped conditions. People are living really on top of each other. There's a lack of hygiene.
In the past few months, five new isolation and treatment centers have opened with more planned. Aid groups hope to have more than 1,100 beds available by July, but given how easily COVID-19 spreads, that may not be enough.
There is a great concern about the potentially not being able to have sufficient capacity for all the cases that we may see.
Clean water and soap supplies have increased across the camps. The refugees use communal water pumps and toilets. That increases their chances of getting infected.
If you want to have water at home to wash your hands with, you're taking a jerry can and you're going to a communal pump and you're filling it. Has that communal pump been used by someone that themselves coughed on their hand and then pumped on it?
A global shortage of medical-grade personal protective equipment, or PPE, for doctors, nurses, and other healthcare workers could eventually lead to the closure of COVID-19 treatment centers in and near the camps.
If we don't have sufficient PPE to make sure that we can give them the safest possible working environment, then we simply cannot operate.
Aid groups say if the coronavirus spreads quickly, they may be forced to make life and death decisions in ration care because of limited resources.
I definitely imagine that doctors will have to make choices about patients who may not survive even with the best care and to give that care to patients with a better chance of survival. We all hope to avoid those decisions.
Despite the obstacles, aid groups say they're committed to doing all they can for their patients. For VOA News, Dave Grunebaum, Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. Like us on Facebook, VOA Asia. Follow us on Twitter at VOA Asia. You can find us on Instagram and YouTube and at voanews.com. Thank you for joining us, and thanks to our managing editor, Diane Gao. Our VOA Asia team includes Doug Bernard, Keith Lane, Amy Papaboon, and Jim Stevenson. I'm Ira Melman in Washington. Have a good day ahead and stay safe.